Welcome to episode 207 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. How many of us have prayed that Hannah prayer for a baby? I know I have. Today's guest experienced 4 miscarriages and 1 stillbirth and is on a mission to inform others of pregnancy and infant loss and help parents who have lost their precious babies. Christina Williams is a pregnancy and infant loss advocate and CEO of Chloe, her nonprofit organization around pregnancy and infant loss. After experiencing her stillbirth, Christina had a partial hysterectomy as a result, and in this episode, she shares her experiences with her miscarriages and her book, The Baby I Prayed For, The Angel I Received. This episode is for you to listen to if you have ever prayed for a baby and received an angel. Here is Christina Williams.
Welcome to the podcast, Christina.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I would love for you to begin by sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So, of course, my name is Christina Williams. I'm kind of all over the place right now. As I tell people, I am working on my PhD in criminal justice. So that's that side of the house. But after losing my daughter about 5 years ago, my husband and I started a nonprofit called Chloe and Company. Chloe was our daughter's name, and we kind of did a play on words where Chloe means creating heavenly life on earth. And we collect wedding dresses and we make them into dresses and pantsuits for Angel Baby. We donate them about once a year around her birthday, which will be today. And we donate them to local hospitals so that parents in our area have just a little bit, I won't call it peace, but just a little bit from us just to acknowledge their angel baby and to just acknowledge that it's okay to be sad. It's okay to celebrate their babies. And we are here to support them. In addition to that, I also wrote a book last spring called The Baby I Prayed For, The Angel I Received. And it was about my journey going through having Chloe, experiencing the stillbirth, and going through multiple miscarriages before the stillbirth as well.
Yes. So we will dig into your book and your nonprofit, but I would love for you to take us back on the beginning of your journey to motherhood and share with us your loss story.
Sure. So 5 years ago today, it was about, I'll say, 9 in the morning. I had woken up. I was actually getting ready to do some overtime. That's just the crazy part of me. And I was about 31 and a half weeks pregnant. And I literally was sitting on the couch and I felt like this rush, like all pregnant mommies do. We feel like we have to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. And I got up and ran to the bathroom and I just felt this wave of heat. I felt very, very hot. I felt like something was wrong. My son at the time was 4. And he came like rushing in the bathroom. Mommy, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Please get daddy for me. And my husband came in and he said, what's going on? I said, I don't know. I just didn't know what was going on. And after that flush of heat, I felt so warm. And at that time, it was about 20 degrees in our apartment. And he's looking at me. My husband is like, what are you talking about? You're warm. It's cold in here. Something is going on. So he had me get up, get myself together. He tried to get me to lay on the bed. I was so uncomfortable. And he then said, okay, let's call the doctor. Let's see what's going on. Parts of what I remember is I was walking down our hallway from our bedroom to our living room, and I felt like I was getting ready to fall. And I just remember going to my knees. And my husband tells me that I literally just kind of rolled on my side. He said I was almost conscious that I was aware I was falling, but I was also trying to make sure I didn't fall on my belly. And he said I wasn't responding for a little while. And then once he got me to respond, he called my mom first. I feel like I know we're supposed to call the doctors first, but our moms sometimes are our doctors. And he called my mom first. And she's like, well, what are you calling me for? Call the doctor. And we called the doctor and they wanted us to come in right away. I remember the car ride the whole time. I just kept saying, oh my God, I hope she's okay. I hope she's okay. And one thing that I don't think I paid attention to was that I didn't feel any movement, but I was still so stuck in, oh, I'm in labor. everything's going to be okay. And when we arrived to the hospital, I just remember my eyes were just closed. I sat in the wheelchair. They wheeled me into their ER room. And I just remember the room was spinning. My eyes were closed the entire time and I could hear everyone talking. I was pretty coherent in that sense, but I couldn't tell you what anybody looked like or anything of that nature. My husband, I know he kind of double parked. They didn't tow his car or anything. And he came in. I remembered him holding my hand and I just remembered about four or five people coming in and doing a sonogram and nobody saying anything. And I kept asking, oh, is she okay? Is she okay? And nobody would say anything to us. And again, I'm not thinking anything is wrong. I'm just like, oh, okay, we're in labor week. This is going to go. Oh my gosh, she's coming early. I'm not thinking anything negative. I'm still thinking, okay, this is normal. And maybe about, I'll say 5 minutes later, my doctor walked in and she did the sonogram. And that's when I finally opened my eyes and I looked at her and she said, well, you know, I hate to inform you that your daughter has expired. And I'll never forget those words. And I'm like, expired? What do you mean expired? And till this day, I can still feel and hear my husband's cry. Like I still feel it. I can still remember all of that moment so vividly. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, you know, what are you crying for? What is she talking about? And she was like, she's expired. We have to take you into labor and delivery right now. We went into labor and delivery and at 11:14 a.m., Chloe was born silently. And it was just such a surreal moment because they took her out. They gave her to my husband and he was just looking at her and I could just still see the emotion, but I was so in and out of it. At one point in time, I completely crashed and I know they were getting ready to escort him out of the room. I stopped breathing and everything. And after we were transported to the next room, they had disclosed to me that I had had a concealed placental abruption. And pretty much if we didn't get there when we got there, I don't know if I would have been here too. It was a lot going on in that moment, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, and just a lot of sadness because I just didn't understand what was going on and I didn't understand how this could happen so fast. And I don't know if that was just ignorance or if it was more so, does this really happen? And, you know, my eyes were just so open at that time. You know, we had experienced four miscarriages prior to the stillbirth, but I was just like, oh no, God wouldn't have gotten me all the way here. And this just happened. Like this can't be happening. So it was definitely a very interesting, yet I do believe a humbling experience because it did open my eyes up to a lot of things that we as women don't really know sometimes prior when we are pregnant and going through our pregnancies. And then it just pushed me to just start helping any and everybody I could who went through what we went through.
Yeah. So when you got to the hospital and actually delivered Chloe, did they do any rituals for her? Were you all able to hold her? And did you have a memorial service or funeral for her?
So we call it the rolling funeral, and I kind of chuckle when I think about it. We gave birth or delivered at Anne Arundel Hospital, and I must say they had the best staff ever. Our nurse, I still keep in contact with her till this day. She actually sent me a message this morning to wish Chloe a happy fifth birthday. And she was just so gracious to us. She allowed my sister to actually come in and change her clothes. We had a pretty dress that we wanted her to wear, and a photographer came to take pictures of her. And they allowed my sister to dress her. And I think my sister also needed that as well, because she too was just completely just thrown off by Chloe's loss and just us going through this. And they allowed us to hold her. My son was able to come in and he actually held her as well. My parents came in and we call it the rolling funeral. My grandmother is an ordained minister. So she came in and she baptized her. And it was just so much family and friends that were allowed to come in at all times of the day and night. One of my husband's best friends came in at 2 a.m. and he stayed with him for about 2 or 3 hours. And he also just, you know, held her and comforted him while at that time I was getting a blood transfusion. But we had so many friends and family that just came by to see her and to love up on us and to just let us know that they were there for us. And to literally come see her too, just to see her face. And those, some people did hug her. Some people did pick her up and hold her. And some people just wanted just to look from afar. And then I think the hardest part for us is when they had to take her out the room because I wasn't ready. And I think a part of me was still like, oh, I'm taking her home. And I knew I couldn't, but I knew that she was just right there and she was just in arm's length to me. And I just wasn't ready for them to take her out the room. And when they did, it was such a sad, sad, sad moment for everybody. My parents, my in-laws, all of us were just heartbroken that they had to take her.
Wow. I'm happy that you all were able to experience that time and your family was able to experience it as well. I think, you know, what 2020 has taught us is, you know, especially for those who experienced loss in 2020, a lot of families haven't gotten that closure. You know, they were, you know, just the you know, husband and the partner, just the couple in those rooms in those moments and not being able to experience that with family. So I'm happy that you all were able to have that moment with her and have that longevity with her. But let's talk about what's just like those next few weeks, because obviously, you know, having family around initially, but then everybody goes back to work and then you are left on some form of leave from work. So were you able to take time off? And then how was those next few weeks? And how was that process of returning back to work when you did go back?
Oh, my goodness. So I was off for about 4 weeks after. I was supposed to be off at least 8 weeks, but there was a whole bunch of drama with my workplace and they were just not willing to give me the extra time off. So I had to jump back into work a little bit sooner than I had intended to. But the 4 weeks at home honestly were very, very hard for me. I like to keep myself busy to just keep my mind off of things. And I couldn't keep myself busy after having a C-section. I had a C-section with my son as well. And that kind of slows you down. It's not, you know, like all my friends who've had natural births say, it's nothing like having a natural birth. And because I haven't had the other one, I've only had a C-section, it's very hard for me to recoup afterwards. So the first maybe 2.5 weeks were really just trying to get my body to some sort of normalcy with the pain of the surgery. But a lot of that was also just sitting in what had happened. Again, I think I was so frustrated because I'm like, oh no, we're not going to get all the way through to almost 32 weeks and this happened. Like I think I struggled with my faith. I was furious with God. And a lot of it, I was sad too, with friends and family, because a lot of them did fall off at that time. Our parents were still heavily involved. My siblings were still heavily involved in checking up on us, but there were some people that I think we expected to be there that were not there. And that, I guess, just added on to the anger that I was already experiencing. And for a while, a lot of those relationships were not mended, almost for like 2 or 3 years, because I still held on to, I can't believe you weren't there for me. But I had to look at it from two different angles as I started to really mature more and really kind of level up in a way in my grief. And I had to realize that some folks are just, they don't know what to say or do when moms or dads lose babies. And that was like a big reality check with one of my aunts. She had shared with me that she had a stillbirth almost 24, 25 years ago now. And she said they didn't talk about it. It happened in the hospital. They went home and they moved on. And I'm looking at her with big eyes. I'm like, what do you mean you moved on? She said, we just moved on. We kind of got over it. And I'm like, you don't get over it, you know? And to me, it was a reality check, but also a way to just understand that all of us process and do things differently. And also, I think it's a cultural thing. At that time, did they really allow families to grieve you know, the loss of losing a child. And I also think that some people kind of put grief of losing babies in a different box, like, oh, it's just a baby. And I'm like, I don't care if it's just a baby. It was my baby. It was still a child. And I gave birth to her. So a lot of that after the fact, and even now, I think I still experience with some family members and friends just about just losing babies compared to losing children. And I'm like, it's still a child, you know, whatever way you want to shape it or shift it, it's still a child. And we should honor our babies, whether they were silently born or not, down to our children that depart. So we dealt with a lot of that. And going back to work, that first day was probably one of the days I wish I didn't have to experience. My office was made aware of what had happened, and the looks from people was just, it was agonizing. I didn't want a lot of people to know at that time everything that had happened. And a lot of people, of course, still don't know everything that happened, but walking in my office and just looking at the sad faces, it was just an interesting experience and just one that I wish I didn't have to go through. I have a hard time dealing with, I guess, people being sad for me in a way. So just seeing that and just walking in that at that time, that was difficult for me. But one of the major issues that I dealt with was I was sitting in my office. It was the day I returned back, and one of my coworkers came into my office and said, well, I mean, you should just rejoice in knowing that you have your son. And I mean, that's all that matters anyway. And I swear, you know, if I could have been, I probably would have smacked him because I don't think he realized just how insensitive his comment was. I think he may have had good intentions in what he was trying to say, but his delivery and his comment was just so insensitive, and it upset me to know. And I remember that I just looked at him and I just kind of gave him a weak smile, and he ended up leaving my office, and I shut the door for the rest of the day. And I look back on it and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it really did hurt me, but I do think that his intentions were probably better than how he really relayed that message. And it really hurt me.
Man, oh man, if we could get a dollar for all the insensitive comments.
Yes.
My gosh, right. And thank God that you didn't react the way, you know, we could have reacted, especially in those moments. But, you know, for those of us, we react the way we react. It don't really matter. If those are our true feelings. It's just obviously so hard when it comes to returning to work. And that's the reason why I wanted to ask, because I feel like everybody's situation is different. Some people have more longer time. There is legislation out there now to grant mothers, birthers who've had losses in any trimester, whether it's the third trimester or even the first trimester, some additional time paid off. At the minimum of 2 weeks is what I've been seeing flowing around. So having something is better than nothing. And I do understand that. So I'm happy that you shared that. So after going back to work, and I mean, you really got back to like what this new normal is. How was your healing and grieving process? You know, did you lean into your faith? Did you lean into, you know, your husband, you know, your son, your family for support? What did you do to really move into and truly grieve and heal from this loss?
Great question. And I think for me, I was really all over the place. I tried to do any and everything to stay out of the house, to just be around other people. But I was always so sad. And what I mean by that is right after Chloe's birth and everything that we experienced, I had two family members and two friends who ended up pregnant. And they had, of course, successful pregnancies and healthy and happy babies. But the sadness that came was, oh my goodness, what did I do to God that he wouldn't allow me to have my baby and everybody else can? And I struggled with that for a couple of years because I just didn't understand it. And I want to kind of be clear on that. I wasn't upset that my friends and family were able to have babies. I was very happy about that. But it was like, if they're able to have their babies, why can't I have mine? And it was just so sad for me to just experience that and deal with that and sit in that. But after a while, I said, okay, Christina, we cannot keep doing this. We have to find a way to push through or at least try to find some sense of purpose with this pain that you're experiencing. And when we were in the hospital, I remember the one alone time moment that my husband and I actually had. I sat there and I know I was loopy on drugs at the time, but I said to him, you know, what can we do to help the next family? And he said, I know that's what you were already thinking. And I said, you know, we never knew that this was even a possibility. And I know that just sounds so crazy, but we really didn't know. We were familiar, of course, with miscarriages, but we had no idea about stillbirths. And again, we were just so enamored, I think, with, oh, okay, we've gotten this far. We're getting ready to have this baby. We're getting the house ready. And then tragedy strikes. And we didn't really know how to deal with it. And I said, you know, what can we do to help the next family? And it took me about 2 years before I said, you know what, we're going to start something. I don't care what it is, we're going to start something. And that's when we started the nonprofit. And the idea came from a YouTube video I was watching, and there was a lady on there that was just making dresses out of her wedding dress. And I said, oh my goodness, what if we collect them? And what if we're able to make all these pretty dresses and suits and donate them to the hospital? And oh, we could donate here. And I'm just bouncing off these ideas. And my husband is like, yeah, whatever, do whatever you want to do. And then he came back and said, you know what? I like that idea. That way we could keep her memory alive. And we talked more about it. And then we went and filed the paperwork to get, you know, all of the names and the LLC rights and all of this, and then transferring it over to a nonprofit. And we're still even working through some of those kinks. But I'm just so glad that we were able to do it because it really did provide me more of a purpose. And it gave me more hope to say, you know, I know that other families will experience this. And you don't want to say it to really sound so such a, like a Debbie Downer, but you know that it will happen. But what can I do with what I've experienced to help someone else? And no sooner after we started the nonprofit, we didn't even make any dresses yet. We had found a seamstress and she was willing to do all of the dresses for free. And that was just a part of her ministry. She just had such a connection to our story that she wanted to help us. And we had just given her maybe 5 or 6 dresses to just go and be creative. And I had gotten a phone call from a friend and she said, hey, one of my buddies just lost their baby. Is there anything that you can do? And I called the seamstress and I said, hey, I do not want to put a rush on this, but we just had someone lose their baby. Can we do a dress quickly for them? And she produced 12 dresses out of one wedding dress. And I was able to give her what we've called the boxes of love. We call them Chloe's boxes of love. And it had a dress in it, a letter from us, a pen, and just a couple of other knickknacks and trinkets that we were able to give this family. And the mom reached out to me and just said, I'm just so grateful because we were able to bury her in the dress that you provided us. And we didn't have any money to get her some of these things and heck, to even pay for a funeral and family help for that. So I was just so honored that we were able to give her something that she could use to just bury her angel baby. And that just, it ignited a fire in me. It was like, oh my goodness, if we can do this for one family, imagine how many other families that we can help. And I wanted to be so clear with just other family members who asked us about it. I don't want to profit off of this. I just want to help. And that's, you know, why we went the nonprofit route. And then the book literally just came out of a whim one day. And my husband said, you need to write a story about what happened. I said, oh, okay. And I started writing and I started writing, found a publisher, and we were able to get everything kickstarted last year.
Awesome. So share with us a little bit about the book and where can people purchase it?
So the name of the book is called The Baby I Prayed For, The Angel I Received, and it can be purchased on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles, and it can also be purchased on Target online and Walmart online. And it is probably one of the best things that I've ever been able to do, is just to write about Chloe's story and write about what happened to us. I also put in there a couple of tips for parents, just things that they could just refer to after they've lost a baby, or even share with others when they've lost a baby. I have resources in there, and it's just my little way of just trying to help out anybody who's willing just to listen to our story. I'm so proud of it. And all of the proceeds that I've received so far have gone directly to our nonprofit organization.
That's amazing. So I would love to hear any tools or resources that you may have used, or, you know, if you've done, you know, therapy or counseling or coaching. Really share with us, you know, kind of how you navigated this journey through grief, and what has helped you along the way.
So one of the biggest things that I did, and it took me a long time to do it, was I did go seek a counselor and a therapist. I found a grief counselor, and she specialized in miscarriages and stillbirths. And she has been probably one of the greatest little gifts ever. And I'm just so proud that I was able to just connect with her and share with her my story. And she was just able to help me really navigate through everything that happened and find different ways to channel my grief and to not always be so angry at certain things and certain people. And that was a hard thing for me. I would get so angry off of little things, down to acknowledging Chloe's name. You know, people would just say her or she, or, you know, kind of write her off. And I'm like, her name is Chloe. Acknowledge her as Chloe. And my therapist just really helped me to understand that everyone doesn't understand that, but you can correct them, and you can correct them in a way that's still loving and still just provides more meaning to what happened. A couple of other things that I have been able to mentor over the phone, email, whatever the case may be, with just other moms that have lost their babies. And I've just been able to share my story, connect with them at Chick-fil-A or at a Starbucks, and just tell them that I'm here for them. About a year ago, one of my cousins lost their son, and I was able to share my book with them. I was able to send them a box of love from our nonprofit organization. And then I was also able to connect with them just to let them know that I'm here. So those have just been some of the few things that I've been able to do. I also had to find a therapist for my son. And he really had a hard time trying to understand that, okay, you had this baby, but you didn't bring her home. And the sadness that I think he experienced and went through was just so bad. We had to find him a therapist. So he was in therapy for about 6 months, and it really, really helped him. And now he still has really sad moments where he misses her, and he acknowledges Chloe all the time. But I wanted him to find a different way to kind of push through the grief. And I'm just so glad that I put him in therapy. And my husband and I just thought that was the best outlet for him.
Yes. And I'm happy that you mentioned that with him. So I would love to know, how has your parenting after loss journey been since you had a child prior to you losing Chloe? How has it been with your son, you know, parenting him now, you know, now that it's been 5 years, and, you know, we're recording this on her 5th birthday. Happy birthday, Chloe, in heaven. So I would love for you to share with us that, because I think a lot of people may not know that, you know, it's different, you know, prior to losing your baby and then after parenting after losing your baby. It's just different, and we all navigate it different. So can you share with us how your journey's been?
Sure. So prior to, I think we always just loved upon our son, and I continue to still do that. But afterwards, I do feel like at times we wanted to give him more because he is now ultimately our only child. And what I mean by giving him more, it's not necessarily just the materialistic things, but giving him more everything. So giving him more love, just hugging him all the time. I mean, I hugged him before, but I hug him probably too much now, and he reminds me often about it. But we were always pretty big on just making sure that we loved and acknowledged and told our son that we loved him. And I think that really increased times 10 after losing Chloe. But I also think a couple of other things that I had to kind of pay attention to was there were a couple of things that I was kind of letting him get away with per se, because I said, oh my God, he's my only one. I don't want him to be per se upset with me with certain things. And then I had to have a come to Jesus meeting and say, okay, you are the mama, and there are some things that you just will not tolerate. So you're going to have to correct those actions before it gets too bad. And I did. But I do think there was just at one point in time, I was just like, you know what? Let him do whatever he wants. He's all I have. And he's all we have. So my husband and I had to be reminded of that a couple of times, that yes, he is all that we have, but there are different ways that we can navigate through some of this and kind of teach him right from wrong without just giving him everything. But I do agree that afterwards, things did change slightly for us. And it was more so we wanted to give him the sun, the moon, the earth, everything without any consequence. And we had to really, like I said, have a come to Jesus moment and say, wait a minute. We're not going to do that. You know, we understand that you are our only baby. You are our only child physically here. But there are some things that we are going to have to correct. And we did.
Yes, I love that. So I would love for you to share with our listeners just some encouraging words. You know, 2020 was a hard year for all of us. I feel like we all are experiencing some form of, you know, collective grief, and we still are. So I would love for you to share for those who may be still grieving, those who may be trying to conceive right now, and those who just who are, you know, going through all of this on top of being amongst this virus. What encouraging words can you leave with our listeners?
You know, one of the biggest things that I can leave with you is just don't give up. I think that sometimes after we've experienced such a loss like this, we tend to say, oh my God, I don't want to do this again. And I am one of those people who was like that, where I was like, oh my God, I'm not doing this again. And we tried. And unfortunately, that was just not in the cards for us. But we've had so many other families that we've been able to connect with, and we've been able to just let them know, continue to try. If you really, really want to expand on your family, we support you. Don't give up that hope. Don't give up that dream. Don't give up what you really, really want for your family. So that's one of the major things I could share, even through the pandemic. Don't give up. If you really, really, really want to just have that precious, precious baby into your life and be with you, I support you. And just know there are other people in the Pell community that support you. And we just want whatever you want. And I'm very big on that. I'm pretty much very positive. I've heard that most of my life, that I try to find some sense of positivity in any negative situation. And losing babies is a very negative situation, but I swear there is hope. There are so many wonderful people who've had rainbow babies, and their rainbow babies have brought them so much love and light afterwards. And for those who are just thinking about experiencing that, or want to experience that, it can happen. And just don't give up on what you want. And just know that there are so many resources, so many people, and so much love and positive energy out here that could kind of guide you to where you need to go.
I love that. So where can our listeners connect with you after this episode? You know, connect with your organization as well as purchase your book.
Awesome. So our organization, our website is www.chloeco.org, C-H-L-O-E-C-O.org. We have all the information on there about donations. And we're also looking for a seamstress. So our seamstress passed away last year. And we are so heartbroken by that. So we are looking for a new seamstress to just help us. We have right now about 24 dresses in inventory that need some TLC so that we can make some dresses and pantsuits for Angel Babies. And there should also be a link there to purchase the book. However, if you are still looking for it outside of that, you are more than welcome to go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Target Online, or Walmart Online. And the name of the book is called The Baby I Pray For, The Angel I Received. And then you can always find me on Instagram and Facebook. On Instagram, it is at Becoming Dr. Williams, or you can locate our nonprofit page at Chloe Co. And I'm also, of course, on Facebook, and we have our nonprofit on there as well. And we also, you can find me at Christina Williams. There are a ton of us, but when you see my locks, which I've now cut, you'll know it's me. So please connect with me. Please share. I am more than willing to connect with you at 1 a.m. I've done it before. I will go in my closet or come down to my office to just talk to any parent that just needs some sort of just love and positive energy sent their way. So please, I'm more than willing to connect.
Thank you so much, Christina, for sharing your story with us and what you are doing in the DMV. I am so excited that we connected today, and I know that our listeners will be blessed by your story and what you are doing to really turn your pain into purpose.
Yes, and thank you so much. You have been just fantastic, and I'm truly enjoying Sisters in Loss and the podcast and the different training modules. I'm enjoying all of it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Christina. This was awesome. This was good.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. There are so many ways to connect with the Sisters in Loss community. Join our monthly support group, our Sisters in Loss Healing Collective at sistersinlosshealing.com. Join our free Facebook group at sistersinloss.com/community, or text Sisters to 797979 to download your free Journal to Healing ebook. That is Sisters to 797979 to download your free Journal to Healing ebook. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Sisters in Loss, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Yeah, girl, we on YouTube at Sisters in Loss TV. We love you for listening. Keep the faith. Until next time, this is Erica, and I'll talk to you soon.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.